In the grimy backstreets of Innerzone, a junkie hunts for his next fix with the single-minded focus of a predator. His body betrays him, skin crawling, stomach knotting, sweat pouring from every pore. This is no ordinary hunger. This is what William S. Burroughs calls the algebra of need, a mathematical certainty where human beings become mere variables in an equation of consumption and control. Naked Lunch isn't just a book, it's a hallucinatory journey through the darkest corners of addiction, control, and the human condition. When it exploded onto the literary scene in 1959, it shattered conventions and sparked an obscenity trial that ultimately changed American censorship laws forever. This wasn't just provocative writing, it was a literary hand grenade that transformed our understanding of what literature could be. In Naked Lunch, addiction serves as the perfect metaphor for control systems. Burroughs reveals its brutal mathematics. Users need increasing amounts to feel normal, while suppliers always profit. The junk merchant doesn't sell his product to the consumer, he sells the consumer to the product. This equation transforms humans into commodities, reduced to pure need. The narrative tracks characters through deterioration. Bill Gaines huddles in someone else's overcoat, looking like a 1910 banker with paresis. Old Bart mechanically dunks pound cake, performing eating without pleasure. Advanced addicts lose all shame about junk, gibbering and drooling at the sight of it, their personalities dissolved into chemical need. Burroughs' portrayal is devastating in its clinical precision, informed by his own addiction. He catalogs the ritualistic preparation, the search for veins, and how 30 pounds materialize in a month after withdrawal. The addict will lie, cheat, inform on friends, steal to satisfy need, mirroring how all control systems operate by exploiting our dependencies. Imagine a city where architecture defies physics. Rooms fold into themselves, corridors lead everywhere and nowhere, and walls secrete psychoactive substances. This is Innerzone, Burroughs' nightmarish composite city based on Tangier, a borderland between consciousness and nightmare where control systems become visible. The city pulses with cooking smells from all countries, music from every culture, and the haze of opium, hashish, and yage smoke. At the meat cafe, drug pushers, black marketeers, telepathic excisers, spectral bureaucrats gather as practitioners of obsolete, unthinkable trades. The landscape morphs with collective anxieties, buildings shifting like organisms. Dr. Benway, Burroughs' most chilling creation, embodies cold, technical subjugation. I deplore brutality. It's not efficient. On the other hand, prolonged mistreatment, short of physical violence, gives rise, when skillfully applied, to anxiety and a feeling of special guilt. Benway's medical career features bloody scalpel duels and untrained baboon assistants. At his reconditioning center, he displays patients with irreversible neural damage, humans reduced to salivating and scrambling for chocolate on all fours. What makes Benway truly terrifying is his resemblance to real-world figures who've used science and medicine as instruments of control, mirroring mindsets behind historical atrocities. The word attacks like a leopard, man, Burroughs writes, cutting off appendages, coiling like a bushmaster to inject rancid ectoplasm. His concept portrays language as a virus, colonizing human consciousness and enabling control. The book's fragmented style attempts to break language free from this controlling function. Communication in Naked Lunch bypasses conventional language through coded systems. Heba Phrenix performing obscene charades, Solubus farting code, agents exchanging atomic secrets through sex acts. Messages appear in breathing rhythms, belly dancers, motorboats, and even a waiter dropping a martini on someone who has been spotted. The senders use telepathy to dominate others, transmitting messages that override individual thought. Their opponents, the factualists, warn against telepathy's misuse, identifying the sender as the human virus, deteriorated cells with specific affinity for the mother cell. This virus theory encompasses all control forms: poverty, hatred, war, police criminals, bureaucracy, and insanity are all symptoms of this virus. Burrow suggests language itself corrupts even resistance movements, a battle for meaning still fought today. Bodies in Naked Lunch are unstable, constantly mutating in response to addiction, control, and resistance. The vigilante undergoes horrific physical changes during withdrawal: 10 pounds lost in 10 minutes, abdicated flesh burning in cold yellow halo. His organs become inconstant in function and position, sex organs sprouting anywhere, rectums opening and closing. Bradley the Buyer, a narcotics agent addicted to the contact high from junkies, transforms grotesquely until he's no longer considered human but a creature without species. His body turns gray-green as it makes its own junk. Sexual encounters involve bodily transformation. In Hassan's rumpus room, bodies melt and reform in hallucinatory sequences blending sex, death, and rebirth. When Miguel relapses, his flesh becomes a misshapen overcoat falling off in globs, a visceral representation of identity dissolution through addiction. These body horrors represent Burroughs' view that control begins at the cellular level, with the body as contested territory where addiction, sexuality, and power wage their battles. "I am a recording instrument," Burroughs declares. "I do not presume to impose story, plot, continuity. I am not an entertainer." Naked Lunch revolutionized literature by abandoning traditional narrative for routines, self-contained vignettes readable in any order. This fragmentation mirrored Burroughs' view of reality and addiction's disconnected consciousness, where time loses meaning. Junk time distorts perception. Waiting for a dealer feels eternal, while under influence, hours compress into minutes. The language itself becomes a narcotic hallucination, blending medical terminology with street slang. Characters dissolve into one another, occupying the same position in space-time, challenging Western notions of stable identity. By rejecting conventional narrative, Burroughs anticipated postmodern literature by decades. His insistence that this is not a novel rejected not just literary convention, but the notion that reality can be contained within traditional narrative. Doesn't this fragmented approach better reflect our modern experience through disconnected social media posts, news fragments, and constant context switching? Behind Naked Lunch lies a profound critique of post-war American society. Burroughs portrays America as old and dirty and evil before the settlers, where the U.S. drag closes around us worse than any other drag in the world, challenging the optimistic narrative of American prosperity. The American housewife trapped in suburban nightmare complains about malfunctioning appliances, while salesmen hawk absurd octopus kit combination devices that represent consumer culture's empty promises, delivering dependency rather than satisfaction. The book exposes violent racism through lynching scenes and casual prejudice, revealing how racism functions as both entertainment and control mechanism in American culture. When characters cross the Mexican border, something falls off, landscape hitting you straight with desert, mountains, and vultures, suggesting America functions as an addiction system, creating dependency while destroying its subjects. Despite this bleak vision, Naked Lunch offers resistance through awareness. Seeing control systems clearly becomes the first step toward freedom, with the book's fragmented structure itself breaking narrative conventions as an act of resistance. In our world of behavior-predicting algorithms and pharmaceutical solutions to existential problems, Burroughs' vision remains relevant. Perhaps the most radical act is still seeing clearly.